your attention today, Pastor Mike and Alex are leaving on the 28th to go to the Dominican Republic to do prep work for teams that come down. We're a very missions-minded church, and this is not a missions trip for everybody to go on. We're going to be doing one of those later on. If you're interested in going on a missions trip, keep your ear to the ground a little bit. We'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come. But Pastor Mike and Alex are going to do some of the prep work, welding, grinding, you know, stuff that you really don't want teenagers doing. You don't want to give a welder to a teenager that has no experience on it. So they're going to go down and do some of that prep work for playground equipment. We've been building playgrounds as an evangelism tool in the Dominican Republic for quite a few years now. And they've asked Pastor Mike and Alex to come down. So pray for them. They're leaving the 28th. They'll get back on the 2nd. And they covet your prayers during that time. So God bless you as you pray for them during that time. Well, we are talking about on Sunday morning four things that matter here at North Point as we're beginning the new year, talking about things that matter here at North Point. And we talked about prayer. We talked about Christian education, about Christian growth, spiritual growth is what I'm trying to say last week. And this week I want to talk to you about the importance of children here at North Point. The class of 2015 is going to be a very unique class. It used to be, Pastor Mike has been in youth work now for 57 years. And, no, seriously, you're probably the most senior youth pastor I know in this section, maybe in the district almost, right up there in the top two or three. We're blessed to have him as our youth pastor here at the church. But, you know, it used to be that trends among young people changed when I was a youth pastor. About every 3 years, you know, words changed, trends changed. That has accelerated so much that you really can't keep up with the change in trends and what's hot and, you know, what young people are up to. Really, it's almost on a monthly basis now that things change so quickly because of technology, interconnectedness, all of that kind of stuff. Pastor Mike's the right guy to have in that position because he seems to be able to keep up with it. I'm still back in the 70s somewhere. I don't know why, but I am. Maybe it's because I grew up in the 70s. But here's some little facts about the class of 2015 that you want to keep in mind. For the class of 2015, there has always been an internet ramp onto the information highway. They don't know what it's like to really live without the internet. It's always been there. States and parents have always required that they wear bicycle helmets. I didn't grow up with bicycle helmets. Maybe that explains something about me. But but kids today, you know, it's unusual to see a kid without a helmet today. The only significant labor dispute in these kids' lifetime have been among major sports teams. That's where all the labor disputes come from. There has always been at least two women on the Supreme Court, and women have always commanded some U.S. Navy ships. As students have grown up on websites and cell phones, adult experts have constantly fretted about their deficits of empathy and concentration. Amazon is not a river. It's a website. O.J. Simpson has always been searching for the killers. All of their life, he's been searching for killers. They've always gone to school with somebody named Mohammed and Jesus. Fake Christmas trees have always outsold real Christmas trees in their lifetime. Music has always been available via download. Think about that. My kids came across, when they were growing up, they came across our phonograph. How many of you still have a phonograph in your house? A few of you older folks do, don't you? Yeah, they just fascinated. What is this? Well, we used to play music on that. Really? Where do you put the cassette in? Well, we don't put a cassette on these discs. And I hauled out some old records that I had. They were fascinated with that. I felt like a dinosaur at that time. Sears never sold anything out of a big book that could also serve as a doorstop. They've always wanted to be like Shaq or Kobe. Michael Jordan is history to them. They've broken up with significant others via texting, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. They won't go near a retailer that doesn't have a website. Refugees and prisoners have always been housed by the U.S. government at Guantanamo Bay. That's how long it's been. That's how much the world has changed in the time that we have been living. And we know that children are important in the kingdom of God. Time goes so quickly. Kids, it goes faster as you get older. It doesn't slow down, it goes faster. And the Word of God is very specific about how churches are to treat children and the importance that they're to have. One of the amazing things that we discovered when we went to Kenya last year was that children kind of occupy a second-class citizen status in most third-world countries. And one of the things that they are learning very quickly is that the way to grow a church is to institute a children's program so that you have something for kids. And it's very difficult to get churches to get on board with that, but they're discovering the importance of young people and children in the church. And when I talk about children, sorry, but I'm talking about 18 and under. I know that you teenagers are not children, but I'm just going to use that term, so forgive me if I use that. Understand what I'm saying. But what we want you to understand is the importance that we have here of North Point, of our children here. There's three statements that I want you to keep in mind as we go into 2015. We did this last year, and I just want to reiterate where we are in our children's ministry. Number one, North Point will focus energy and resources on children's ministry. In the past, we've done things like VBS. We're going to do it again this year, and we want you to keep that in mind, that in August, we're going to have VBS. That's kind of a big outreach that we have here at the church. And you may not realize it or not, but VBS is rather an expensive proposition to put on every year. Sunday school costs money to put on every year, to put on week after week. We need to fund these things, and we are committed to giving the resources that are necessary for children's ministry. Number two, outreach or evangelism and discipleship of children will be a priority at North Point. When we send a child to junior church, when we send a child to our Wednesday night classes, when we send a child to our Sunday school classes, when they go to VBS, it is more than just entertainment that we're trying to provide for these children. We are trying to provide quality discipleship materials. We want to introduce them to Jesus Christ. We want them to understand that He is the Lord of their life and that He loves them and wants them to serve Him and that they can be followers of Jesus Christ. It is never too young to introduce a child to Jesus Christ. One of the best attended classes that we have is our nursery class here at North Point. And those ladies that are in that class have a passion for little children because they know that you can plant those seeds early in their life. It's more than just entertainment. It is a time when they are planting the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts of young people. I remember when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, I was probably in the first or the second grade, and I remember my Sunday school teachers playing an integral role in that because the church that we attended when I was a child valued children's ministries, and every Sunday they would ask questions, spiritual questions about me. That's where I learned my Bible stories. And by the way, this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, but folks, we need to raise a generation of biblically literate young people because they're not right now. You know, I've used this illustration several times, but Garrison Keillor, the great storyteller from Prairie Home Companion, he has changed the way he tells stories in the last 10 or 15 years. And he's changed it to, he used to be able to say, just like in the story of Noah, and people would know what he's talking about. That's not true anymore. You have to explain. You have to tell the story. We need a generation of biblically literate children. And that comes in the home. It comes in the church. It comes on Wednesday nights. It comes on junior church. It comes through exposing your children to the Word of God in a regular basis and on a constant basis. So outreach and evangelism and discipleship of children will be a priority at North Point Assembly of God. One of the things that maybe you're not catching if you're not here on Wednesday nights or if you're not aware of what's going on in our youth department, Pastor Mike has been telling me that there's been a move of God that's going on among our teenagers, our young people, where the altars are filled service after service, and God is doing a work in these young people's lives. And that's vital to young people that are entering into a world where God is not just questioned, but attacked and mocked and made fun of. They're going to need that experience coupled with the knowledge in order to become strong men and women of God. You know, Jim Cimbala in our Wednesday night video series that we're going through talks about the experience of power in the Holy Spirit that is absolutely essential to the growth of people in the kingdom of God. And it's essential for young people to have that happen too. That's why they need to be in church. That's why they need to be in Sunday school. That's why they need to come to youth group. That's why they need to be at camp. That's why they need to go to all of these opportunities that are available to them, because there they will experience the power of the Holy Spirit to be coupled with the knowledge that they're receiving, and they will become powerful and strong young men and women. And then thirdly, children's workers will receive training, encouragement, and support. We're not going to just throw people into the Sunday school class and say, here, teach this, here's a quarterly. But we need workers. We need more workers in our children's program. We need more workers to work with our young people. Pastor Mike could use more help in Wednesday nights, our Wednesday night kids program. All of that kind of stuff is absolutely essential to the work that we need to do among our kids. And one of the steps that we're taking to make sure that that happens is we're kind of rearranging our children's ministry. God has given us a gift. His name is Don and Renee Harvernian. I'll make sure the recording gets to them. They're not here to hear that. Renee's there. Okay. Usually she's back there with Don, but he teaches our kids. Don has a passion for children. He's a school teacher. He has a passion for kids and for ministry, and he has agreed to become our children's ministry director. And what we're going to do is, in the past, Sunday school has been kind of standalone. Wednesday night has been kind of standalone. And junior church has been kind of standalone. He's going to bring them all under the umbrella of children's ministry so that they have a common purpose, a common goal, and they're all working together. But we're going to train workers, and we're going to give encouragement and support. You see, it's important because... Did I lose my thingamabob there? Okay. Picture this in your mind. 50%, according to George Barna report, 50% of all decisions for Christ will happen before a child is 12 years old. 50% of all decisions for Christ will happen before a child is 12 years old. That's significant. Where should we pour our resources if we're going to reach people for Jesus Christ? I mean, just people, because kids are people too. And they need that experience of salvation. They need to know that by age 21, 75% of all decisions for Christ will already have been made. By the time a kid is 21 years old, their mind is usually made up. 25% of those people still will make a decision, but for the most part, people's minds are made up by the time they're 21 years old. By age 9, lifetime moral beliefs will have been made. You've got to establish those moral beliefs, and that isn't that's just across the board. That's good moral beliefs and bad moral beliefs have been made during that time. So you got 9 years, Mom and Dad. You got 9 years, Grandma and Grandpa, to pour into those kids your moral beliefs and what you believe to be true so that they will carry them with them for the rest of their lives. So what are we going to do with this knowledge that we have about children's spiritual lives? Children are more open to spiritual truth than at any other time in their life. They haven't been really taught to question and to doubt and to be a skeptic by the time they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. They just believe that what you tell them is true. They believe in the spirit world. They believe that God is there and that He's real. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about teaching children, and it says it very clearly and very specifically. The Old Testament emphasized the role of the parent. And the first thing that it said is that children are a gift from God. Now, some of you are thinking, where do I return these gifts? No. You cannot do that. They are a gift from God, and God wants you to be blessed by them. And, you know, as a guy who has been through the battles, you know, I have 3 sons, and I thank God for them. They're the blessing of my life. Sandy's the blessing of my life. But my sons are second place, the greatest blessings that God has ever given to me. And I can say that now because I've been through it. I made it to the other side. John Paul is 21 years old and, you know, 21, I don't know how old he is, about 21, somewhere in there. I stopped counting after 18. You know, I got to 18 and said, woo! And then I discovered that I'm still liable for him for some things. And so 21 is my next goal that I'm looking for. But it is a joy to look back on all of the struggles, all of the trials. There's things I would have done different. None of us are perfect. There's things that I would have done differently. There's things that I would have emphasized more and emphasized less in their lives. But what a gift of God my children have been and still continue to be. They're a blessing from God. And if you're still in that small child stage, my advice to you is hang in there. Hang in there. Enjoy the good times. And there are going to be more good times than there are bad times. I mean, especially this time of the year, you think, is my child ever going to be healthy? You know, if you send them to school, to that little germ factory they call schools, your kids are, seems like this time of the year, a kid is fighting bug after bug after bug. It gets better. They develop immunities. They, you know, they get stronger, all of that kind of good stuff. And your children, as they grow, they're going to be more and more of a blessing to you. But that gift requires, it carries with it a personal responsibility. It carries with it a responsibility to see that they are developed in the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. In Deuteronomy 11:9, God told the Israelites this, teach them to your children, the law of God. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. What that's saying is very simply this, keep talking about God to your kids. When you take them to the beach and you're ready to go home, you know, just kind of slip the conversation as, man, God created a beautiful beach for us to go to, didn't He? You know, just little things like that. Constantly reminding them of God's care for them. Praying with them before they go to bed at night. Praying with them at any opportunity that you have. You know, kids come home, Johnny picked on me today at school. Oh, I have a son named Johnny. I better change the name that. Frankie picked on me at school today. Let's pray for Frankie. What a great lesson for them to learn. And the book of Deuteronomy tells us to continue teaching your children. Let me tell you something about children. Despite what Hollywood and television tell us, kids are not wise. You know, they talk about these wisdom of children. They eat boogers. How can a wise person do something like that? They're not that wise. They haven't gotten around to that yet. Some of them aren't even that smart. You know, and they need to be taught. They need to be guided. They need to be directed. Your kids are going to do some stupid things in their life. You know, just like you did. Just like I did. Yeah, I did some stupid things. I know you find that hard to believe. Your pastor did stupid things. Yeah, they were all godly stupid things, but they were stupid things. They need guidance. The Bible says over and over, teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them to your children. The main appeal to the child in Scripture is very simple. Be obedient. You need to teach your children to be obedient. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God will give you. Honor your father and your mother. Now that is a command from God that parents need to teach. You need to teach your children to be obedient. Now let me tell you something. I know it's not easy. I had three boys. And it's amazing to me how three guys that could come from the same parents could be so completely different from each other. We had one child that was just as compliant as the day is long. I mean, seriously, all I'd have to do is snap my finger and he'd shape up. Other ones, it was a battle. Day by day, sometimes hour by hour. But it was a battle. But you know what? We taught him to obey. And you know, it's just amazing to me how God creates different children. But don't give up. Don't quit. Listen, obedience is a learned response. Obedience is a learned response. Now, please, I know that there are obstinate children. I know that some of you have kids You just say, you know, Susie, I really wish you wouldn't do that. And that's enough. They don't do that. And you can get the impression in your mind that all kids are like that if you're not careful. Because they ain't all like that. There are others that you know, you stand there with a knife and a switch and a gun and you say, I want you to stop doing it. And they go ahead, I don't care. You don't scare me. I'll call Child Protective Services on you, Mom and Dad. If they ever do that, hand them the phone. And then explain to them, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. But a child who is not taught to obey parents, listen to this. A child who is not taught to obey parents will have a terribly difficult time obeying God. Because the relationship is the same. You know, we think about equality and all of that kind of stuff, and you know, I believe I understand that. But there is a superiority understanding that we need to have, that God is greater than us. And when God says go, we need to go. When God says stop, we need to stop. And that begins at the household level, where when you tell your child to stop, they need to learn to stop. They need to understand that. Obedience breaks multi-generational dysfunction. And if you come from a dysfunctional background, one of the best things that you can do is, first of all, begin obeying God yourself and translate that to your children in obedience to you. Now listen, again, I want you to understand, I am not standing here saying, all you need to do is make your child obey. What's the matter with that? Just make them obey. I've been there. I know it's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. And sometimes you will feel like an abject failure. But the payoff comes when they're 45 years old and they pull you aside and they say, you know, I hated it at the time, but I really appreciate what you did for me when I was a kid. You were right. You did the right thing. And then you can just rejoice in God that you did the right thing during that time. Requiring obedience produces happy, enjoyable kids to be around. When obedient children are there. Now, obedience does not equal perfection. No one has a perfect kid here. No one was a perfect kid here. If you are, you know, please come up here, finish this sermon for me. But the main appeal to the child is to be obedient to your parents. Parents are age plus experience. Parents are age plus experience. And age plus experience, and you add the fear of the Lord into that, and it equals wisdom. Age, experience, and fear of the Lord equals wisdom. And your children need to understand that. If you take that away, children have little experience, so they need to be taught by their parents the fear of the Lord. And folks, I want you to understand something. You have a heavy burden to bear. God gave you the gift of your children. And then He said, now, teach them about me. That's your responsibility. Listen, God calls us to great things. God never calls us to mediocrity. He calls us to greatness. And one of the greatest things that you can ever do is to teach your child to fear the Lord. God calls us to the miraculous. And sometimes it takes a miracle to teach your children to fear the Lord. But my advice to you is, don't give up. Don't quit. Even when it looks like you failed, even when it looks like you have blown it big time, trust that the word that you have poured into their hearts will not come back to you void. Because isn't that what the word promises? He says His word will not come back to Him void. Some of you here today, you may have a prodigal child. They may be 30, 40 years old. I want you to know, if you've been pouring God's word into them, you can bank that God is going to honor that some way, somehow, someday. Don't give up hope. This is not a formula for producing perfect people. This is a formula for God's door to be open to miracles in their life. So, you know, children need to obey. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here in this. So we need to understand that Parents are called to teach the children the Word of God. Children are called to obey. And when those two things are working together, there's perfect harmony. That's a lie. There's never going to be perfect harmony this side of glory. Your children are immature. They're growing. They're getting mature every day, and thank God for that. Look for those little victories that you get. You know, I still remember the day one of my sons called me from college. He was in the middle of his college years, and he said, "Dad, I need some advice." I almost dropped the phone. I said, well, who is this? And we had a great conversation, but you know, I remember that like it was yesterday. I really do. I remember it like it was yesterday because it was such a significant moment of victory in our lives together. I don't know that my son remembers it, but I remember it. You know, so we're called to teach them and to make sure that they have that example set before them, and then trust God for the rest. Now, here's what we're committed to as a church. Now, I emphasize parental role because, folks, the church can never take the place of the parent. We're not their parents. We're their uncles and their aunts, but we're not their parents. We do have a significant role, but you have the preeminent role in their life. And frankly, it's never too late to start. All my kids are grown up. You know what? They're still your kids. Become that man of God that God wants you to be in their eyes, and watch what God does with that. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't say you've blown it and you can't do anything about it. You can start over today. God lets second chances go. God gives third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. But don't let that go. Be that example that God wants you to have today. So let's talk for the last few minutes here about North Point, what we're committed to. These are very basic, but they're very important. Number one, North Point is committed to providing a safe place for children to learn. One of the things that you need to understand is that we take the care of your children very seriously. Everybody who teaches children at North Point, that's anybody under 18, has to undergo a background check. That's just foolish not to do anymore in today's world. We need to protect your children. We have guidelines set up in place on how to conduct yourself with a child to keep you out of trouble and to make sure that no allegations are made. We want North Point to be the safest place for you to leave your child. Secondly, we support and enhance parents in spiritual instruction. Right now, there are all kinds of opportunities for you to take advantage of what North Point has to offer. On Sunday morning, we have Sunday school for your kids, and we have great Sunday school teachers. Now, we are facing kind of an odd situation. That situation is, we got a lot of kids in junior church, but we don't have all that many kids in Sunday school. And you need to take advantage of that. I am a fan of Sunday school. I'm not just a fan, I'm a believer in Sunday school. Sunday school offers something to your children that I can't give them here in the morning service. It offers them an opportunity, number one, to build a relationship with a teacher that loves and cares for them. It allows them to build relationships with other children that share common beliefs with them. It offers them an opportunity to hear the gospel on their own level, in their own terms. And you need to take advantage of that. Some of you just need to discipline yourselves to get up earlier, to get your kids ready, and to get them in Sunday school. Remember, you've got 9 years before their values and their morals are shaped. It's running out quickly. This time goes fast. And I would rather have you mad at me for harping on getting to Sunday school all the time than to have you say 12, 20 years from now, I wish I had done better. We've got Sunday school on Sunday morning. We've got junior church during the morning service. We've got Wednesday night. We've got a great Wednesday night program with our youth and with our children. And we have nursery available at all those times also. Those are just three opportunities that we have, and there are probably more that are just escaping me right now. But we're offering creative venues for children's evangelism to take place. One of the things that we do every year is we have our Vacation Bible School. I know I harp on that. That's because it's kind of the premier effort that we make every year to reach out and to do evangelization of kids. But every year we do a vacation Bible school. I'm so excited about that. It's probably one of the best weeks of the year for us here at the church. It's a lot of work. We put a lot of hours into that. We put a lot of hours into training you. We put a lot of hours into executing that. And listen, if you've ever volunteered for junior or for vacation Bible school, I want to tell you something. Thank you very much. I really mean that. I am not unaware that just about everybody that does VBS works that day too. And so you have put in a 12 or a 14 hour day for 5 days that week when you have done VBS. And I want to thank you for that. I am aware of the sacrifice that that takes and I appreciate it very much. But the dividends are paid off in glory. You know, anything that's worth having takes hard work. My dad taught me that. Your dad taught you that. Anything worth having in life takes hard work, but the dividends are in glory. Recognizing and valuing the spiritual life of your child. I will absolutely guarantee you that if you bring your child to Wednesday night, Sunday morning, junior church, VBS, whatever we have for kids, if you bring your kid, we're going to take their spiritual life seriously. We're not going to play, oh, ain't that cute with them. Because children matter. I want you to know Don prays with those kids every Sunday morning in junior church. He asks for prayer requests, and it ranges from everything from, you know, my puppy's sick to, you know, whatever they've got. Some of them are very serious. Some of them are very, very, very earth-shaking to these kids, and they pray for each other. Did you know that your kids lay hands on each other and pray for each other in junior church? They're learning that right there, that the prayer of an effective man availeth much. And we take that seriously. We believe that children's prayers are effective. We believe that they matter. And we want you to know that. And then finally, offering excellent children's discipleship using you as a resource. We need your help. We need people that are willing to sit in and be a helper in classes, to take a Sunday school class. You know, we need you to bring your children and your grandchildren to church. You know, one of the things that grandparents can pour into their grandchildren's lives is to take them to church. You can be effective in that area. And Mom and Dad, if you haven't been bringing your kids to the children's program, you need to do that. I can't emphasize that enough. We're offering excellent children's discipleship, but we depend upon you to make it happen. Children matter in the kingdom of God. They matter to God. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, forbid them not, because this is how the kingdom of God is." Kids matter, and we want them to matter to you too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this time together, we thank you for your Spirit that lives and reigns in this place. And God, today as we close this message, it really was an evangelistic type message, God, but I pray that there would be someone here that hears your heart cry for kids. And God just wants to reach out and touch their lives. I pray that you would draw people into your kingdom through the children's ministry here. God, that your name would be praised and glorified in every Sunday school class and every Wednesday night class, every junior church, every youth group, everything that happens here in this church, God, we pray that you would just have your way. God, we pray that you would make us a premier children's ministry point in West Michigan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.